we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Richmond and Twickenham Times, read by Peter Donaldson.
Home Secretary Michael Howard's election wagon swept into town with land of hope and glory blazing from every orifice.
And thanks to Adam Steiner of Bristol for that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Jeremy Hardy. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Roy Hattersley. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from the Times.
The Chicken, which is attempting to highlight Mr. Blair's refusal to agree to a television debate with John Major, was released outside the harbour gates after being grilled briefly by police.
Next to Bernard McDonough of Banstead, Surrey, for spotting that. Francis, who has finally emerged from the shadows?
I can't imagine. Tony Blair has become Prime Minister, I believe, and things can only get better, apparently, allegedly. But another 5 years of Conservative government we can look forward to. Which is very unfair, because he did say, just before the election, that he'd be more radical than we expected. He would surprise us, which is perfectly true, because he's already done something fantastically radical, making Roy Hattersley a life peer. That's the sort of excitement and daring initiative we can expect from a Blair government. So, 5 years, here we go.
You feel the frissons running around the audience at the very
No, I thought it was jolly brave of him to make you appear, given that you're practically in Arthur Scargill's camp these days.
Poor old Arthur.
Yes.
As we hypocritically say these days.
Mandelson still doesn't look happy, does he? They came to Mandelson and he said, well, it's a very sad day for John Major. And I thought, oh, you miserable bugger, smile. For once in your miserable life, smile.
Oh, you look quite gay to me.
No one could have expected the result from looking at the opinion polls, which confounded everyone by being right for once. Also, for the first time in living memory, there will be children in No. 10 Downing Street. There's bound to be squabbling, tantrums and screaming matches, but Tony hopes the cabinet meetings won't keep his kids awake at night. Jeremy, what took 6 weeks to go down the John?
The Tories have lost the election. I think we should just play Handel's Messiah now and call it a day. Yes, the Tories have lost the election. It did very, very... It was a moment of sadness about 4 o'clock in the morning when it became apparent that one or two of them had held their seats. Particularly Michael Howard and Gillian Shepherd, who are particularly loathsome. And that was rather emotional. That was rather emotional. And indeed, what's his name? The hostess trolley. The bloke in Beckenham. Piers Merchant. That's become an expression now. He's a bit of a Piers Merchant. He got back in, and the reason he got back in is that the Liberals were going around Beckenham, putting leaflets through the door, saying vote tactically to get the Tories out, which would be fine were it not for the fact that Labour are the second party in Beckenham. So the Liberals split the anti-Tory vote and put him back in. And that's the lovely, charming Liberals who are untainted by all worldly things, lying to the electorate in Beckenham.
But Piers Merchant must be with a chance of becoming leader of the party now. It's one of the few survivors.
Yeah.
It's going to be a toss-up between him, Alan Clark, and Theresa Gorman.
John Major, the temporary leader of the opposition, called one of the longest election campaigns ever, but you can forgive him because he did get the BBC to take the moral maze off for the duration. Mr. Major's departure from No. 10 was a very different affair from his predecessors. As Mrs. Thatcher faced the crowds in Downing Street, there was booing, hissing, spitting, and rude gestures. But eventually Dennis managed to get her to stop and bundle down. As a result of the Tory defeat, Paul Daniels has said that he's going to leave the country. A nation mourns, but we don't know which nation, because we don't know where he's going to go. Roy, congratulations on your ennoblement and becoming the first peer ever on the News Quiz. Which bell resoundingly rang the changes?
This is St. Martin, who didn't cut his cloak in half and give part to beggar, but cut his white suit in half and took it to the cleaners while the television cameras were watching. Martin Bell, an extraordinary victor in the Thursday night election campaign, BBC's representative in Parliament, God's representative on Earth.
If his company did as badly as the Tories have done,
I think
it would either be closed down or sold off. I don't see why Blair doesn't take it over. Do a bit of asset stripping. You flog John Redwood off to the Japanese and turn Theresa Gorman into a theme park.
If we sold John Redwood to the Japanese, they might produce thousands of miniaturised John Redwood to take over the country.
This is Martin Bell's ousting of Neil Hamilton as honourable, until proved otherwise, member for Tatton. Mr Bell has always admitted he has no experience in politics and doesn't have a clue what to do now he's elected, so he's almost certain to get a job in Tony Blair's cabinet. Alan, listen to this.
Although I laugh and I act like a clown, beneath this mask I am wearing a frown. My tears are falling like rain from the sky. Is it for her or myself that I cry? I'm a loser, and I lost someone who means to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
Alan, which secretary was caught with his defences down?
Oh, dear. Well, you see, the thing is, Simon, I grew up in Southgate. And it was a place of warm beer, a leafy suburb where the long shadows fell over cricket pitches and elderly district nurses cycled home on their ancient rudges. And now the only thing cycling home on his ancient rudge is its former MP, Mr. Michael Portillo. Terrifying for the country, have a man who couldn't even defend himself.
Michael Portillo had been seen as a strong candidate for the Tory leadership and so managed to break new ground by losing two elections in one night. The battle is now on amongst Tories to see who will follow John Major, something no one's done for years. So the scores at the end of round one are Francis and Jeremy 4, Alan and Roy 4. And we start round two with an item spotted in the York Evening Press.
Prime Minister John Major swept into York to address the area's party faithful, calling them the good people of Lancashire.
Thanks to the very many of you who sent that in. Francis, which goldsmith now bears the hallmark of failure?
It's the leader of the Patriotic English campaign, Jimmy Goldsmith, who gives his address in Who's Who as Mexico, but claims to live down in Richmond or somewhere. And stood on the slogan, "Let the people decide," which they did. very successfully, so much so that he lost his deposit and about 20 million quid from his current account as well, I think.
What was glorious about Mellor's reaction is he just couldn't believe it. What? You can't. Who's responsible for this election?
James Goldsmith, the half-French Mexican resident billionaire, is baffled by his failure to appeal to the ordinary man in the street. Though they didn't challenge other Eurosceptic candidates, the referendum party did stand against the monster raving loony party, fatally splitting the mad vote. Jeremy, whose third party claim paid off?
Oh, the Liberals did all right. But the main thing is the Tories are out.
The Liberals' confident prediction of taking at least 40 seats came true. They haven't taken up so many seats in the Commons since the days of Cyril Smith, who managed it single-handedly. 2 points there. Roy, listen to this.
Oh, monkeys, flying round the moon, we'll be up there with them soon. Things ain't what they used to be. Once our beer was frothy, but now it's frothy coffee. Well, things ain't what they used to be. It used to be fine.
I should warn you, Roy, we've left the election now. Which one believes syntactical inflection ain't what it used to be?
I think that was the Prince of Wales singing on that record. and he was saying that the English language has deteriorated severely. And he was giving us the example, after he finished the singing, went into the recitative phrase. He said that the English language was now like a dismal wilderness. which seemed to some people to be an example of redundancy, because nobody could think of a wilderness that was not dismal. And it's the Prince of Wales saying we ought to talk better than what we do.
Exactly.
Well, I thought that was worth a round of applause, if nobody... You're a grudging lot. Aren't there anybody?
It was in the context of the prayer book, wasn't it? He said that we'd lost the majesty and power of the English language to convey sanctity or something of the sort. We'd lost our souls because we were using the modern prayer book. And this from a chap who goes around saying he wishes he could be reincarnated as a tampon. Start moaning about the loss of majesty and power in the language. But he does. I'm told he can talk quite eloquently when he puts his mind to it, but it's only when he's chatting to the trees and nobody ever hears him. That's why, you know, he's very fond of talking. That's why he married Princess Di, because she said she was as thick as two short planks. He thought, wood I can cope with, wood I can speak to.
Charles explained that he wants lovely old Grandma back working again, but on hearing this, his lovely old Grandma said she was quite happy drinking gin and watching the horses on TV. He said that everyone should be given the chance to learn English to help further their careers. After all, his family did, and look where it got them. Alan, who had strong words for society?
Oh, well, they don't sound very strong in the context of the news quiz, where we say far worse things about everybody. But this is Sir Roy Strong.
Mm-hmm.
Who has published his diaries, or serialised them in the Daily Mail, and says things like, the Queen dyes her hair badly. Very strange, the idea of the monarch sitting there, dabbing on the henna. Then he actually said that Princess Di was a 6'2 short planks as well, which is where Francis probably got it from. He's bidding to be the next Alan Clark. I have no doubt he'll get a safe Tory seat.
Sir Roy Strong's diaries managed to slag off just about everyone from the late 60s to date. Sir Roy also describes meeting Margaret Thatcher at the time of the Lambton affair, when she expressed surprise that men actually paid for sex with prostitutes. Presumably why she happily went on to screw the entire nation for nothing. Princess Diana is described as having an appalling accent, despite the £47,000 spent on her schooling, making it possibly the most expensive Grade D art GCSE in the history of education. And the scores at the end of round two are everybody level on 8 points. We start round three with a cutting from The Guardian.
Mark Tully was born in Calcutta in 1935. He joined the BBC in 1964 and resigned in 1994. He's since worked in radio and TV and written several books. He is separated and lives in London and Delhi.
Thank you, John Crellin of Weatherby, for spotting that. Francis, why should they change the guard at Buckingham Palace?
Well,
A man was found.
Oh, it's the, yes.
A strange man was found wandering around the grounds. And the weird thing is, only Prince Edward was in that night. And there was a man trolling around in the grounds. And they said, get your guard. And apparently he was a psychiatric patient. And given the sort of mental aptitude of the people who live in Buckingham Palace, he thought, this looks like the place for me.
Well, he thought if he hung around for long enough, the Queen might ask him to form a government.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a secretary when it happened last time, and the man came into Buckingham Palace, and I saw the account of what had happened, and he sat on the Queen's bed, and you know what he said to her? Have you got a light? He said. You get into Buckingham Palace, there's the Queen in bed, you're sitting there, and what do you say? Have you got a light?
You could have said, copy the big issue. I bet the Queen's been hoovering all morning. The Blairs are coming, and they're so posh. I bet Tony Blair walked in and said, hi, it's great to see how real people live.
This is the disturbing news of the intruder who was discovered in the grounds of Buckingham Palace. A palace spokesman said it wasn't their fault. He had mad, staring eyes and was grinning like a lunatic, so we naturally assumed he was a new Prime Minister. The Queen wasn't unduly perturbed by the news, since she's used to having weak-minded, suggestible people wandering around her house. But she does think he should have paid his £8.50 entrance fee like everybody else. Jeremy, listen to this.
There are skippers and mates and rowing club mates just messing about on the river. There are pontons and trots and all sorts of knots for messing about in the river with inboards and outboards and dinghies.
Jeremy, where will women be in a row in the pink?
I'm too tired and hungover to formulate a joke, so if I just say the words oars, cocks and rollocks, perhaps the listeners can fashion something out of that themselves. Women have been wanting to join this Leander Rowing Club, and it was run by the Taliban militia. They said, stay at home and gestate, you foul and stinking temptresses. They said, get ye gone, girls can't throw overarm and are smelly. And wouldn't let them join. And now they've been allowed to join, but whether they'll be allowed to drink in the club afterwards, I don't know. It's extraordinary to me that at the end of this century, there are still these rules. And I'm sure if the women go into the rowing club bar afterwards and ask for a half a lager, they'll be asked, would you like a ladies' glass? Because there are landlords in this country who will still say, would you like a ladies' glass? And you think, what is that? Does it come with a super absorbent beer mat or something? That's it, isn't it?
The Leander Rowing Club have finally agreed to admit women in order to qualify for lottery funding. Leander members like to wear fluffy socks, floppy hats and broad silk ties, all in a delicate shade of pink, so it's not difficult to imagine why none of them was ever that interested in the opposite sex. It is difficult to see what these women find interesting in a rowing crew. Is it the 8 well-built men or their tiny little cocks? Roy, which spicy act poked a tongue out at tradition?
This must be the Spice Girls, is it? And they poked their tongue out. Well, I think they did something even more extraordinary, didn't they? Being provoked, they actually sang genuinely on stage rather than mime to music. So they broke their own tradition. But they did something else, which Alan is now writing down on a piece of paper. And he's written the strange word, haka, which means that when they were in New Zealand, they behaved as if they were Aboriginal people, causing great offence to people who were Aboriginal people. I'm very grateful.
Not at all. They stuck their tongues in and out a lot, which they've probably been training to do.
The extraordinary thing about this is the Aborigines said that it was not acceptable for the Spice Girls to do it, but for the rugby team to do it in Twickenham was fine. Which is somehow related to the previous question about Leander. 15 big men standing in the middle of a rugby field putting their tongue out in rhythm. Strikes me as rather strange anyway.
They've managed to offend the Maori by performing their sacred haka ritual. This involves wiggling their extended tongues and slapping their thighs. So you'd have thought that 5 slappers with a famous tongue action down under would have been ideal for the job. Alan, how a drink has been given a new way to get the shakes.
Oh, Alan, it's about Alco milk.
Yes.
Yes, in a bid to seduce the young way from inoffensive drugs like cannabis, the drink industry is turning them into alcoholics. And you can now get gin-flavoured milk. Not bad, really. Leave it out for the milkman. 6 eggs and a large vodka and gold top. It's not actually going to happen, though, is it? There's been all sorts of objections to it. This probably comes out of mad cows. Find enough mad cows and you give them a couple of pints of Jack Daniels, get on the other end and it's coming out as highballs. Perhaps a bull, I don't know, but anyway. They're interfering with our milk.
They should call it Alan Clark because it's white, thick, rich and full of alcohol. Sounds delicious though, I must say. You've got a line in your stomach, haven't you?
In the past, when you'd gone into a pub and asked for the alcoholic moo, somebody usually went to fetch the landlady. Scores at the end of round 3 are Francis and Jeremy 12, Alan and Roy also with 12. And before we start our final round, here's a cutting from the Times.
Her second husband was Prince Ali Khan, son of Sir Sultan Muhammad Shah Aga Khan III, renowned as Imam of 15 million Ismaili Muslims, twice president of the League of Nations and 5 times winner of the Epsom Derby.
Thanks to all the listeners who sent that in. Francis, listen to this song. Francis, who let out a war cry against the ways of the East?
War cry against the ways of the East? Well, it's not the Spice Girls' haka, and it's not Prince Charles grumbling on as usual. So Jeremy is going to alert me to
Is it the Salyame war cry? Salvation Army kicked somebody out of a church or something because she was doing yoga, and they said, that is witchcraft, burn her, burn her. And somebody else was eating a sort of mung bean cutlet or something, so they put them on a ducking stool, and then the Grand Inquisitor came in, and the Witchfinder General came round the pubs selling war cry and throwing stones at unmarried mothers and things like that. That's it, isn't it? But the main thing is the Tories have lost the election.
The Salvation Army has banned yoga classes from a hall in Biddeford, North Devon. The army was worried that if members got involved in yoga, they'd have to change their war cry from Almighty God save all sinners to God Almighty me back's gone. The class leader hit back at the critics, saying she'd bent over backwards to please those people who didn't know her arse from their elbow. Jeremy, which offer is sowing the seeds of drought among gardeners?
The water industry was privatised by the Conservatives, who've just lost the general election. Their venal parasitic friends are making huge amounts of money out of water, and because water is short, the water authorities are saying, oh, don't bother with having a bath or washing your clothes. Simply go and stand next to your nearest burst water main for 5 minutes. Why flush your toilet when you can fish the bits out and throw them out the window?
It's a little bit more specific than that. Which offer is sowing the seeds of drought among his gardeners? Do you know
It is all to do with lawns, isn't it?
I'll give Jeremy 1 point for that. There's the news at Severn and Trent Water offering discounts to gardeners who buy drought-resistant plants. The flowers are varieties that thrive in desert conditions. People are also trading in their garden gnomes for garden nomads. In the drive to save water, customers are being told to replace bird baths with bird showers and ornamental fish with a new drought-resistant variety, tinned salmon. Roy, which beastie may not be so wee or so timorous in future?
It's the super mouse. And the super mouse has been developed genetically. That is to say, to be a super mouse, it doesn't have to go to the gym on a Saturday morning and pump iron, or run round the block for 40 minutes every morning, or take physical exercise before it goes to bed, all the things I do each day. All it has to do is be sure that its mother had the right injection of the right chemicals, or are they hormones, and it leapt all muscled from its mother's womb, as Shakespeare almost said.
American scientists have devised a method of breeding extramuscular mice with broad shoulders and bulging biceps. Fears have been expressed about them escaping, but you'll soon know if they've come into your house, because the cat will have a black eye and you'll see enormous holes in the skirting board. In a similar experiment, scientists have proved Darwin's theory of evolution by releasing lizards into the wild. Next, they're going to take the brains out of a colony of slimy toads and see how long they take to evolve into the British National Party.
Also didn't do too well last night, did they?
No, splendidly trounced the fascists, that's good. It's all pretty good, really. We'll just have to get used to the fact that Tony Blair's Prime Minister, but let's not think about that yet. Enjoy the weekend.
Alan, who nipped overboard when a big splash was heard from above?
It's another alcoholic, milk and cow question. A Japanese fishing boat went down, and they claimed on the insurance. They were asked by the insurance company what happened. They said, cows fell out of the sky and sank our boat. The insurance company sent them that piece of paper with saying, marked position of cow in sky. How fast was it going? Where were you? Were there any witnesses? Did a dolphin come up and say, I saw that? And the claim was thrown out. It was then discovered the cows had actually sunk this boat by being thrown out of a Russian plane. Being Russian plane, that's why I think it was alcoholic. As everybody in Russia is drunk, the cows were. And for some reason, I don't know why they threw them out, but they took them to the door and threw them out. They fell on this Japanese fishing boat. Amazing story. You start claiming things on my insurance, I think. I mean, they actually believe them in the end.
It's extraordinary for a cow. I mean, you must sit there in Siberia, sort of chewing the cud, thinking, nothing ever happens to me. And then you're herded by cattle rustlers into a plane, and 5 minutes later dropped onto a Japanese fishing boat. Conversely, there's all these fish going, blimey, that's a bit of luck.
It's an extraordinary story of the Russian soldiers who rustled a herd of cattle into an aeroplane. When the cattle started to stampede, they pushed them out, so sinking a Japanese fishing boat. One of the fishermen and said he hadn't been so frightened by nasty jerseys since he last attended Giles Brandreth's selection conference. The first the Japanese sailor knew of this was when he looked up and got a pat on the head. This isn't the first time this has happened. Recently, a herd of mad cows sank a little tanker. That's what we call Douglas Hogg rhyming slang. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, this is from the Nottingham Evening Post. It's an advert, vacancy for receptionists with the Co-op Funeral Service. Reporting to the funeral service manager, you will provide a caring, professional service to our clients in all aspects of funeral arranging. This will involve liaison with a wide range of bodies.
Jeremy.
I have a cutting from the Irish Times, Simon. The Church of Ireland Bishop of Derry and Raphoe, Dr. James Mahaffey, has welcomed the decision to continue the vasectomy service at Letterkenny General Hospital in County Donegal. Labour Senator Sean Maloney welcomed the news too and was particularly pleased the decision was so clear-cut.
Roy.
Well, this is from The Independent, a strangely informative paper that explained to its readers a problem in Italy when there was an argument about whether a candidate who died during the election campaign could in fact have been elected. And The Independent quotes the rules of Italian elections, which go like this. For example, a dead man cannot stand in a municipality of less than 15,000 people. In larger towns, however, corpses may only be disqualified if they go through the runoff 2 days later after the first count. Seems to me there may be a couple of people rising from the dead over the next weekend.
Alan.
I have one from the Times, Simon, last week. When David Joel, 33, called his wife to ask for a lift home after he'd been out drinking, she told him to take the bus. He went to Lincoln bus station and drove off in one, while four times over the limit, he was jailed for 5 months.
Thank you all, and now let's look at the final scores. Francis and Jeremy are creditable 15, but Alan and Roy, this week's winners with a landslide, 16 points. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the News of the World sent in by Mrs. Janet Recknell Turner of Sutton, Surrey.
Two girls were fined £45 each for sunbathing nude on a deserted stretch of beach on the holiday isle of Sardinia. Police told the judge they arrested them after watching them through binoculars for 6 days.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Curran, Francis Wheen, Roy Hattersley and Jeremy Hardy. The chairman was Simon Hoggett and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Ian Pattinson with Hugh Rycroft and David Spicer. The producer was Alan Evans.